ృత్యాపం బ్రహ్మదండం నిరత్యయం
Brahma-dandam, punishment of a brahmana.
The punishment of a brahmana.
Duratyayam, insurmountable. Translation: all the hereditary brahmanas were thus cursed by Nandishwara. The sage Bhrigu, his reaction, condemned the followers of Lord Shiva with this very strong brahminical curse. Therefore, the word Duratyaya is particularly used in reference to a brahmana. Danda or cursed by a Brahman. A curse by a Brahman is very strong, therefore is called Dharatya or insurmountable. As the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, the stringent laws of nature are insurmountable. Similarly, if a curse is uttered by a Brahman, that curse is also insurmountable. And Bhagavad Gita also says that the curses or benedictions of the material world are, after all, material creations. The Chaitanya Charitamrita confirms that which is accepted in the material world to be a benediction, and that which is to be taken as a curse and boast and platform because they are material. To get out of this material contamination, one should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, as is recommended in Bhagavad Gita, Mam Eva Ye Prapadyante Mayam Ekam Charantate. The best path is to transcend all material curses and benedictions and take shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna, his name, in a transcendental position. Persons who have taken shelter of Krishna are always peaceful. They are never cursed by anyone, nor do they attempt to curse anyone. That is a transcendental position. Text 28, one who takes a vow to satisfy Lord Shiva, or who follows such principles, will certainly become an atheist and be diverted from transcendental scriptural injunctions. Therefore, it is sometimes seen that devotees of Lord Shiva imitate characteristics of Lord Shiva. For example, Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison. So some follow the Lord Shiva imitate him and try to take intoxicants like Gunja. Here the curse is that if someone follows such principles, he must become an infidel and turn against the principles of Vedic regulation. It is said that such devotees of Lord Shiva will be Shastra Parikantana, which means opposed to the conclusions of Shastra or scripture. This is confirmed in Padma Purana also. Lord Shiva was ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to preach the impersonal or Mayavad philosophy for a particular purpose, just as Lord Buddha preached the philosophy of voidism for particular purposes mentioned in the Gospels. Sometimes it is necessary to preach a philosophical doctrine which is against the Vedic conclusion. In the Shiva Purana, it is stated that Lord Shiva said to Parvati that in the Kali Yuga, in the body of a Brahmana, he would preach the Mayavad philosophy. Thus, it is generally found that the worshippers of Lord Shiva are Mayavad followers. Lord Shiva himself says, Mayavad asachastram. Asachastra, as explained here, means the doctrine of Mayavad impersonalism of becoming one with the Supreme. Bhrigu Muni cursed that persons who worship Lord Shiva would become followers of this Mayavad asachastra, which attempts to establish that the Supreme Personality of God is impersonal. Besides that, among the worshippers of Lord Shiva, there is a section who live a devilish life. Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada, Pancha, Raja, authorized scriptures that are considered Shastra, or scriptures which lead one to the path of God realization. Shastra is just the opposite. Explaining those who vow to worship Lord Shiva are so foolish that they imitate him by keeping long hair on their heads. When initiated into worship of Shiva, they prefer to live on wine, flesh, and other things. about indulging in wine and me keeping long hair, and one said not bathing daily, smoking ganja, or some of the habits which are accepted by foolish creatures who do not have regulated lives. But such behavior, by such behavior one becomes devoid of transcendental knowledge. In the initiation of the Shiva mantra there are mudra ashtaka, in which it is sometimes recommended that one makes a sitting place on the vagina and thus desire nirvana or dissolution of existence. In that process of worship, wine is needed, and sometimes in the place of wine, palm tree juice, which is converted into intoxication. This is also offered according to Shiva Agama scripture on the method of worship in Shiva. Translation: all the hereditary Brahmanas were thus cursed by Nandishvara, the sage Bhrigu, was a reaction to condemn the followers of Lord Shiva with his very strong Brahmanical curse. One who takes the vow to satisfy Lord Shiva, or who follows such principles, will certainly become an atheist and be diverted from transcendental spiritual injunctions. Those who vow to worship Lord Shiva are so foolish that they imitate him by keeping long hair on their heads. When initiated into worship Shiva, they prefer to live on wine, flesh, and such things. So here we find the counter curse of Bhrigu, who was also an exalted sage, just like Daksha. And he is speaking on the side of Daksha against Shiva and his followers. So just as Nandishvara cursed the Brahmanas to be full of ignorance and take repeated birth in the material world and live like beggars, so to say Bhrigu is now cursing the followers of Lord Shiva. And his curse says that they will follow the wrong scriptures. In other words, they will follow activities which are contrary to the real scriptures. They will be Pashandis. They will not believe in the Supreme Lord. Huh? And they will follow all sorts of forbidden conduct. So in this way we see that both sides actually tell some sort of truth, because we see that many of the Brahmanas become corrupt and fail to inquire about spiritual life and instead get involved in rituals and other materialistic activities. And on the other hand, the followers of Shiva, not all of them, but some of them, indulge in activities which are contrary to the scriptures, and that particularly those who follow Tantra. So here we have a picture of corruption on both sides. So the curse is here uttered, and then later on it comes true. So we'll find that, in other words, both sides are cursing the other to become corrupt, or, in other words, predicting corruption within the followers of each group. At the same time, each has a positive side. So we cannot say that all Brahmins are bad, and at the same time we cannot say that all followers of Shiva are bad. But that possibility exists on both sides. The corruption can take place. So here we find the cursing and the counter-cursing taking place. In itself, this is not a good example. It simply shows anger and reaction by anger. When someone becomes angry, one also becomes angry. Somebody curses, one also curses. So this is a common material reaction. This is a problem of the material world. The mode of passion produces the mode of ignorance, and both sides get affected and act in the mode of ignorance. And the end result of this, of course, is you see that they end up in a very violent mood, in the mode of both sides. So the end product of all of this is completely disastrous, even though both sides were initially in a very good position. And therefore, we see the decline of their positions due to the introduction of pride and then anger. So as was mentioned before, these are the stumbling blocks. And also this is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Lust, anger, and greed are the three gates to hell. And of course in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that. What is the cause of impulse or sinful activity? And he says, it is lust transformed into anger and mode of passion turning into ignorance. This is the cause of all sorts of wrong activities in the material world. And Arjuna has asked, how is it, even we don't want to, we indulge in these activities? So, even one knows the scriptural values and standards. When one is affected by the mode of passion and ignorance, one will break those standards and end up in this sort of position. So this is an example of that. In fact, these persons were exalted persons. So we have the sages here like Bhrigu, and Daksha, etc. And the Lord Shiva and his followers. And they end up in this situation of passion and ignorance. In this situation, however, we'll find that Shiva was aloof. He was completely detached from the situation. So though it appears that he is also affected, since his followers act in this way, and as is mentioned here, the followers of Shiva indulge in all sorts of abominable activities, one cannot blame Lord Shiva. So we know that Lord Shiva is actually an expansion of Vishnu. So he is in a completely different category from the Jiva. So we cannot say that he also falls into ignorance like the normal Jivas in the material world. Even the Brahmins can fall into ignorance. But Lord Shiva is another form of Vishnu, so how can he fall into ignorance? So he cannot. But there is apparent touch of ignorance. It looks as if it falls into ignorance because it was close contact with such associates as this who do the cursing like Nandeshwar, etc. And he has associates and followers who indulge in all these activities. So it appears Lord Shiva also is of a similar character. And Daksha himself was bewildered, and therefore he insulted Lord Shiva by criticizing his conduct. So it appears Lord Shiva is in ignorance, but and it would seem to be confirmed by the activities of his followers, but that is not so. He is completely free. He is beyond the material modes of nature. That is, if he is actually the Supreme Lord. Sometimes a jiva will take the post also. So in that case, it's not guaranteed that he is going to be completely free. Just as Brahma is a jiva and not completely free in some cases. In some cases he may be, in some cases not. So though the followers of Shiva are here getting cursed, we should not think that Lord Shiva is also in this position of being a pachandi and follower of bad activities and a rejecter of scripture. He is a expansion of the Supreme Lord, so he's untouched by any of this. But his followers may end up in this position. So as we know, Lord Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance. And he attracts people in the mode of ignorance. This is his type of mercy to deliver the fallen people. He attracts these people in the mode of ignorance. This is a rather difficult job, of course. These people in the mode of ignorance are rather helpless. They're not capable of spiritual advancement on their own. So it is a very difficult job to help them advance. So we have Tamasic Puranas written by Vedic Vyas to help the people who come and join. And their worship of Shiva is recommended. Lord Shiva is glorified. So people in the mode of ignorance, if they worship Lord Shiva, then the goal is that they will become purified. Why? Because ultimately Lord Shiva is the expansion of Vishnu. So that contact will produce some purity eventually. They're attracted to Lord Shiva because the peers, he is also like them. He's also in the mode of ignorance, so they'll be attracted. But nevertheless, he's not. So this is the trick of Lord Shiva to enlighten or upgrade the fallen people and become one. So here, Bhrigu utters a curse, which is not so much a curse as an actuality. He has followers who are in the mode of ignorance. On the other hand, we do know that Lord Shiva also is respected among the sages. The sages are in the mode of goodness. So not all the followers are in the mode of ignorance, but he does have followers in the mode of ignorance who adopt ignorant habits, etc. Of course, Lord, this is not the encouragement of Lord Shiva to simply commit tamagun activities. That's not his principle. But people become misled in the mode of ignorance, and in the name of Lord Shiva, then they will practice all sorts of wrong activities, sinful activities. So here it says that asat chastra pratipantina, they will indulge in following asat chastra and follow, they will reject the sat chastra and follow the opposite. So they will break the rules mentioned in the generally accepted scriptures, and they will follow other rules. So they will go against the rules of scripture actually, and do things counter to that. So in this way, they get condemned. So that is a danger on this path where one is leading the ignorant people. The ignorant people may invent new rules which are counter to the regular rules. So sat shastra refers to the Vedas and the Puranas and the Smriti Shastras and Antaratra and other works that support the conclusions. And the asat shastra has other things. So those persons who accept the sat shastra are called astika, and those who do not follow are called nastika, which we generally translate as atheist. They don't follow the Vedic scriptures, they're called nastika. So we'll find that some people will claim to follow scripture, but their scriptures are not the accepted scriptures. So technically they're called nastika. So one has to be careful and understand what is shastra, what is the actual shastras, and accept those things and not these other things. So sometimes we will meet people who will say, well, it says in this particular work and then we'll quote something. But we have to understand, is that a real shastra, or is it something that somebody has introduced along the way? So there's many, many things which are called scripture, but we have to see if it's acceptable. Is it Pancharatra? Is it Smriti? Is it Purana? Is it Veda? Is it Upanishad? Or not? If it's something else, then we can question it. What is its significance? We can question where it contradicts what is in the other shastras. Then we can say, well, it's contradictory. So sometimes we have scriptures, people will say, well, what about Chaitanya Charitamrita? We haven't heard of that one. It's not mentioned in the Vedas. But it does not contradict anything in the Vedic literature. It supports it. So therefore, nothing wrong with that. But when we come up with some scripture that does say something completely opposite, then we have to
Well, what is that scripture?
What is that thing? And then we can understand that if it doesn't fall within the proper categories, then it's asat shastra, completely contradictory. So many groups are in that category. They may be philosophical deviations. So therefore, the Buddhist and the Jain scriptures are called asat shastra because they contradict the conclusions of the Vedas. They're not accepted as part of the Vedas, so they contradict their conclusions. Therefore, philosophically, they're called asat shastra. And then, even some people who claim to be Hindus may be supporters of some shastras which are not actual. So therefore, those people following tantra, for instance, that's considered asat shastra also. Even though they're not Buddhists and they're not Jains or whatever, still, they are also rejected because they don't follow the proper scriptures. They introduce something else. Someone has to be careful of these different types of scriptures. If we have proper knowledge of what consists, what real scripture is, and its conclusions, then we can test other things in relation to that, and we can reject those things if they are contrary. So, here Bhrigu is cursed. The followers of Lord Shiva to end up in this position of deviating and going away from the real scriptures and supporting something else. The Prabhupada has mentioned here they may become atheists or whatnot. So, that actually is where we have non-acceptance of the bona fide scriptures and introduction of other philosophies, then that's what we call nastika, atheists. So technically, Jainism and Buddhism fall in that category because they reject the scriptures called nastika, so we generally call them atheists. Even if they have some sort of belief in something, God in some sort, still they're classed as such. Atheistic type philosophy. Therefore we have to be careful of these different claims. So the safeguard is that we understand the conclusion of scripture, and we also understand which are the accepted scriptures. And if people say something, then we have to question, where does that come from? Does it have a bona fide source or not? And then we can discuss. So all discussion has to be based upon some standard of knowledge. So our standard of knowledge is we take a scripture. Within the scripture, there may be contradiction. Apparent contradiction, then we'll have problems again, and then we have to discuss again based on those scriptures. And to do that, then we have to have good intelligence to see what is the real intention of the scripture and what is the logical conclusion. So there are rules of logic and rules of interpretation, etc., and we have to follow those to come to the correct conclusion of the scriptures. If there is contradiction within the bona fide scriptures. So, the Bhagavatam has been written by Vedavyas as the conclusion. He wrote this after everything else, after the Mahabharata, Vedanta Sutras, and after compiling the Vedas, etc. Then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam as the final conclusion. So the Gaudiya Sampradaya takes this as the final word in the Vedic literature. And of course, Lord Chaitanya says that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Brahma Sutras. In other words, it is the explanation of Vedavyas of the Brahma Sutras. And the Brahma Sutras are an explanation of the meaning of the Upanishads. And the Upanishads are the knowledge section of the Vedas. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam represents the essence of the Vedas, it represents the essence of the Upanishads, the essence of knowledge. So if we take the conclusion of the Bhagavatam, then we'll get the conclusion of everything without having to go to the other works. For that reason, the Gaudiya Acharyas generally concentrate upon study of Srimad Bhagavatam and don't study other works so much. So that is the view of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. They concentrate on the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Like Krishna got 100% potency, and Narayana got about 96% potency, and Narsimha only 86% potency. He's not a full incarnation of Vishnu, only a partial incarnation.
They show different amounts of God's qualities. So that's why they call it partial. It's not that they're a section of God and he chops them off and makes them little independent entities. Well, they're actually God, but they manifest less parts and therefore less qualities, therefore they're called amsa or part. So Shiva shows significantly less than the Vishnu forms, and therefore he's put in a separate category. And one of the reasons for showing less is that he associates with the mode of ignorance, and therefore a lot of qualities do not manifest because of that association with the mode of ignorance. So he doesn't show the same qualities as the Vishnu form show.
You said Buddhism and Jainism are not separate. What about Mayavadi?
They base theirs upon Vedanta. So that's actually not claim it as Asat Shastra because they're basing it on the bona fide scriptures. So we'll see that they do not quote unauthorized things. They'll quote Upanishads, Veda, Puranas, Bhagavad Gita. So in that sense, it's not Asat Shastra. But the conclusions, of course, are counter. They're opposite. So in that sense, the conclusion of Asat Shastra. And of course, there also is the analogy to Buddhism, that Shankara's conclusions are similar to Buddhistic conclusions in that sense. So then the Buddhists are followers of Asat Shastra, so it's related to that. Not only Brahmanas, he attracts all sorts. So we see that his followers here, Nandishwar is not a Brahmana, for instance, and others are not Brahmanas. He also has Buddhas and others as his followers. So Lord Shiva attracts all sorts of people, but generally they are affected by the mode of ignorance. But of course we see that not all people who are Shiva worshippers are in the mode of ignorance, because Shiva actually is the greatest Vaishnava. So therefore we have a whole Sampradaya following after Shiva as well, Vaishnava Sampradaya. So not that everybody is in the mode of ignorance, but that there is quite a few people who are in that mode. And those who worship any devata in the mode of goodness, they worship the devatas because scripture tells them to, but they do it according to the scriptures and without attachment to results. So that's mode of goodness. So therefore, Brahmanas may also, in the mode of goodness, they worship Shiva or Indra, anybody as well. So it's not that all the followers of Shiva are in the mode of ignorance, but there's a tendency for many people in the mode of ignorance to follow him. Yeah, so the conclusion.